A new report by Human Rights Watch has revealed a dramatic increase in the number of gay men contracting HIV in Indonesia. The report blames a recent moral panic against LGBTI community for derailing public health outreach and safe sex education efforts. Daniel Butler has this report.
Life for queer Indonesians has, over the last several years, seen a marked decline. Queerphobic rhetoric from both governmental and religious figures has increased in frequency and intensity since 2016. As a result, police and vigilante groups alike have been terrorising queer spaces. Over 300 raids were carried out last year, with gay men arrested and paraded before the media, sometimes naked. Last year, two men were publicly caned for having consensual sex. Earlier this year, beauty salons run by trans women were raided without cause. Now, a new report by the Human Rights Watch organisation is showing some of the costs of this crackdown. While the country as a whole has enjoyed stable or declining rates of HIV contraction, amongst the gay population there has been a fivefold increase in 10 years, amounting to 25% of the gay population. Experts see a direct correlation between the discrimination faced by queer Indonesians and this public health crisis.
The shrinking queer space affects queer people in terms of looking for support or information.
This is Henry Julius, graduate of the University of Sydney. His thesis dealt with LGBT identity in Indonesia.
Obviously, communities are scared of coming out or to say that, oh, I'm part of the community, for example. It becomes more difficult because of this fear, of course, followed by the shrinking of public space and queer space. It's more difficult for queer people to look for support.
Queer spaces in Indonesia are the primary source of information and support regarding sexual health for gay men. In terms of HIV education, they are vital, sometimes in the simplest ways. For example, health professionals hand out condoms at gay saunas, encouraging their use and explaining their purpose. This has been specifically targeted by police, as Andreas Harmono of Human Rights Watch explains.
Condoms, as used as evidence by the police, and many of them went to jail just for having condoms.
Harmono conducted the majority of the 48 interviews with gay Indonesian men on which the new report is based. He is unequivocal about their mental state.
Oh, they are very scared. They are scared. Their hotspot is disappearing.
The hotspots that Harmono mentions are public places such as saunas. But as Henry Ulis explains, the reduction in queer spaces extends also to the personal sphere.
They are now facing shrinking spaces, even in terms of their private life. For example, like online spaces like Grindr, which was prominently used by queer people to meet other queer fellows, are now also banned in Indonesia.
In Islamic schools, there is no information on queer sexual health, and the country's decentralized health system relies on local governments to implement health schemes. These local governments are increasingly homophobic.
It can be exploited and it can be amplified by any groups who want to use these issues for their political purpose. We are going to have upcoming election next year, and I'm quite concerned if these issues can be exploited again for the purpose of election.
When both public and private avenues for information are reduced, public health is affected, something that has been noted by Indonesian activists fighting for queer rights.
Gay activists see that if a person are not comfortable with his or her or their own sexuality, they might be in the closet and they might be difficult to reach out, and they will have limited knowledge about sexual health, and then as a consequence, it will exacerbate their health.
So what then remains? As life for queer Indonesians becomes seemingly ever more narrow, is there anyone left to help, anywhere left to go?
But I believe there must be some NGOs, some informal groups, some informal queer networks that have been working to navigate these issues using different modality, yeah? For example, using online spaces, or even they create, for example, community gathering in smaller spaces, and then also local organizations have to find different strategy in terms of framing their activisms in order to avoid unnecessary controversies and also to protect queer people.
Henry Julius from the University of Sydney, ending that report by Daniel Butler.